Young Turks, we've got a great Monday show for you guys. Boy, the first story is amazing about the ghouls and goblins that the Republicans are running and how they're winning in their own primaries. Amazing. We'll get to that in a second. Late in the program, NRA has a new president and predator. He is a criminal, a convicted felon. He shouldn't even be allowed to own a gun because of his criminal record. He is a guy who has made deal with terrorists. I will explain a little bit later in the program. All of that is absolutely true. And at the same time, they're excusing torture that on a candidate that they are bringing up for the head of the CIA. That's an unbelievable story. And then in the second hour, lots of dancing, stories about dancing at least. And one of them involves a person by the name of Childish Gambino. Who is he? What does he do? And why is he so smart? Now, some of you already know the answers to that, but I found out this morning. Anyway, amazing, wonderful story. Yes, there are wonderful stories in the show. Let's do it. Let's go over here. Okay. The ghouls and goblins that the GOP is running now are unreal. They're all over the country. Roy Moore was a child molester in Alabama. He lost, but the general election, but he won the Republican primary. If you thought Roy Moore was bad, buckle up. Here comes Don Blankenship and Patrick Little. Now, Don Blankenship is a total monster. I'm going to give you some sense of who he is and how he's doing in a second. But before I tell you that story, I want you to make sure that you stick around for the Patrick Little story, because he's worse than Blankenship. And right now, he's in second place in the California Senate race among all contenders. He's number one among the Republicans. How could it be worse than Blankenship? Hold, we'll get to him, but let's talk about Blankenship. So he's a former coal baron. He was convicted because in one of his mines, there was a gigantic explosion. 29 people died. He had purposely not done mine safety, and that's why he was convicted. And why? Of course, for an extra buck. Now he's running for the Senate seat in West Virginia, and you know him by another name that he has. Let's put up this picture here. You know him as the pallbearer, obviously, from the WWE. But oh God, that matches him uncomfortably well on several different fronts. So yes, that's what he looks like, but he also sounds like that. He also says insane things like China people. He keeps referring to China people and Mitch McConnell's China family. Why Mitch McConnell? Mitch McConnell's in Kentucky, he's running in West Virginia, because he perceives Mitch McConnell to be the head of the Republican Party and the establishment. And yes, it is true that a PAC associated with Mitch McConnell has run ads against Blankenship in West Virginia because they want to win that seat. So that's why he keeps attacking Mitch McConnell. Now, we've run his ads in the past showing you what a lunatic Blankenship is, but he's not done yet. He's got a new radio ad, but that's not why I'm telling you this story. Wait till you see what position he's in. But first, yet another insane ad from Don Blankenship.
This is Don Blankenship, candidate for U.S. Senate. The establishment politicians are getting desperate and more hostile. They are calling me a bigot, a moron, a despicable character, and mentally ill. But even if all of this is true, I will do a better job than they have done. They have resorted to this childish name-calling because they don't want us to focus on the issues. The issues are that we need more West Virginia jobs, we need to end the drug crisis, and we need an honest government. We do not need more childish behavior like you may have witnessed at the Fox debate. The fake news is also pretending to be offended by my use of the words China people. They seem not to realize that China is a country, not a race. The establishment has given millions of our jobs to China people and left many West Virginia people to fend for themselves. Send me to the Senate and I will represent West Virginia people, not China people. I am an America person and I will put America first.
That is so amazing on several different fronts. First of all, there is no such thing as an America person. Not a thing. You made that up because you kept referring to China people, as in Chinamen. It's an old school slur against Chinese people and against all Asians in this country. Since he used that slur, he's now saying everybody's a person. What do you mean? There's Korea people, there's West Virginia people. I'm an American person. No one has ever said, I'm a West Virginia person before. It's not a thing. It's not a thing. You made it up. But my favorite part of the ad was in the beginning. They're calling me a bigot, a moron, and a despicable character, and mentally ill. Why would you repeat those charges in your own ad? But it gets better. The next sentence was, but even if all of this is true, he grants that it is possible that he's a moron and mentally ill. It's unreal, unreal. So that leads me to the news of today. Political reporting, as the tight contest hurdles to a close, four Republicans say they'd reviewed polling conducted in recent days showing Blankenship, who spent a year in jail following a 2010 explosion at his Upper Big Branch mine that killed 29 workers, moving narrowly ahead of his more mainstream GOP rivals. He's leading! He's leading! He's number one in the Republican primary. The primary's tomorrow. The primary is tomorrow. This goblin is likely to be the Republican nominee from West Virginia. You never know. I mean, he's getting so much media attention. It could change the dynamics of the race. And even Trump has gotten involved. So he tweeted out, to the great people of West Virginia, we have together a really great chance to keep making a big difference. Problem is Don Blankenship, currently running for Senate, can't win the general election in your state. No way, he says. Remember Alabama, vote Representative Jenkins or Attorney General Morrissey. So there's two other mainstream candidates, such as they are in the Republican Party. I mean, is there anyone that's sane left in the Republican Party? By the way, those guys are running ads saying that Blankenship is too liberal. In case your mind wasn't blown enough yet. Okay, so how is Blankenship going to respond to the big dog, Donald Trump, throwing him under the bus? Well, he's got a great answer. Watch.
While West Virginia really loves Trump, it's his policies that they love. It's the fact that he has demonstrated that he'll support coal. He's demonstrated that he will, you know, pass tariffs if necessary to support the steel industry. He's demonstrated that he is not a swamper. And so it's those policies that West Virginians love. And I'm basically Trumpier than Trump when it comes to those policies, but I'm a much more mild-mannered and much more in line in terms of the social issues in West Virginia than even President Trump.
Well, you got to give him this. He he is mild-mannered. I mean, what he says is insane, but his delivery makes it appear that he has already died. The guy, you want to talk about low energy? I've never seen anyone with less energy in my life. I was offended by the word West Virginians. What I understood was that they are West Virginia people. All right, but of course, the interesting thing that everybody noted from that response to Donald Trump is that he is Trumpier than Trump. That's got to go on a shirt somewhere. So, oh boy, when we've got a new standard in the Republican Party in the country, which is Trumpier than Trump, God help us all. So you might be wondering, why is he winning? Well, for two reasons. And again, winning just in the Republican primary. Two reasons. One, the Republican electorate has lost its mind. They got egged on by fear and hatred for year after year after year. And so they're like, yeah, fear and hatred. That's what we're for. So this guy hates the China people. That sounds great to me. Because I'm a West Virginia Republican person, so I'm voting for Blankenship. He didn't get famous for doing anything positive. The only two things Blankenship are known for is blowing up a mine where 29 workers died and going to jail for it, and for being deeply racist in this particular campaign. It's not like people are like, yeah, but on the other hand, right? Well, he does a lot of charity. No, there's no such thing. Okay, I don't know how much charity he does, but he's certainly not known for that. So the other reason why Blankenship is doing well, over the final 6 days of the race, as Political reports, the self-funding coal baron is set to spend over $640,000 on commercials. According to the media buying totals, more than Jenkins and Morsi combined, Blankenship has spent over $2.5 million on TV ads in total, far more than his rivals. In other words, money in politics. This guy made a ton of money running unsafe mines. He's now using that money to try to become the senator from West Virginia. He's even overpowering his Republican opponents by spending millions of dollars on a West Virginia race. Man, the corruption runs so deep in this system. Meanwhile, the person not getting anywhere near enough attention in the race is actually a wonderful candidate, of course not on the Republican side, on the Democratic side, Paula Jean Swearengin. She's running against Joe Manchin. They also have a primary, and it's also tomorrow. So whatever you do in West Virginia, get out there and vote if you're a Republican. Hey, look, man, I can't. You like the corruption, you like somebody calling people China people and being Trumpier, that's your business, okay? I would say vote against Blankenship, but that's your primary. Democrats, what are you doing? Joe Manchin represents the coal companies, everyone else. Paul G. Swearengin is running against them. Could you imagine if we had an honest, uncorrupted Bernie Sanders style candidate against the monster that is Blankenship? She would crush him. She would crush him. Instead, Blankenship might get to say, well, Joe Manchin takes money from coal companies. I ran a coal company. Cut out the middleman. That's literally what Trump did. You think it can't work? Trump said, hey, all these people take money from politicians. I'm the guy they took money from. Cut out the middleman, go straight to the heart of the corruption. And it worked. And it worked. So it might be able to work against Manchin. It won't work against Paula Jean. Here's her links, and they're all down below in the description box. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, make sure it's so easy to click. Just go down there and click on it when you get a chance. Again, the primary is tomorrow, so whatever you do, just get out and vote. Go, 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 go. Okay, so how could the California Republican candidate, Patrick Little, be worse than Blankenship? Okay, he rises to the challenge. And I'm going to tell you about his poll numbers in a second. Little called Adolf Hitler one of the greatest leaders in history. And then he says he's running to liberate the US from the Jewish oligarchy. And he describes himself as a white advocate who aims to crush anti-white racism in US institutions. Well, that last one sounds like a right-wing troll on one of our videos. So, China people, you say, hold my beer. Okay, going straight for the Nazi vote. And get a load of this. He's winning among Republicans. In fact, this is a race that Dianne Feinstein and Alison Hartson are in. Okay, Feinstein's at 39% according to a Survey USA poll. Patrick Little is at 18%. He would go to the runoff. He would beat all of the other Republicans and the rest of the Democrats, keeping it real, and he would go to the runoff. In California, just the top two advance, it doesn't matter what their party is. Holy cow, how the hell is he at 18%? That's insanity. So we're not done yet. So the GOP kicks him out of his convention, out of their convention this weekend, and he's super mad about it. And so how is he going to show how mad he is? By standing on the Israeli flag. Watch.
They just had me expelled from the building because I won't serve Israel. I want to serve my country. I want to serve the United States. I want to serve Californians. I will not bow to a foreign flag. I will not serve a foreign government. The Republican Party, the GOP of California, is nothing but Zionist stooges. They do the bidding of a foreign power that has committed terrorist attacks against this country.
This is what the Republican Party has turned into. Look, I'm not the one that's saying they turned into this. The Republican voters are. Look at the polling. He's crushing the rest of the Republican field in California. Crushing them. I don't even know how they know about him, let alone the fact that they're like, a neo-Nazi who loves Adolf Hitler. Yay, in California. So in California, the race, if it were to go off, if that poll is accurate and it goes off today, you would have Feinstein who would be Hillarier than Hillary. I just made that up, okay? But it's true on the context. Dianne Feinstein, way more conservative than Hillary Clinton. for the death penalty, voted for Bush's taxes, voted for Bush's Iraq war, voted to repeal the estate tax, just changed her mind after an Allison Hartson ad last week. Oh yeah, marijuana, maybe it should be illegal. She'd been fighting against that, fighting against criminal justice reform. She's so deeply conservative, funneled money to her husband, who was a defense contractor in the middle of the Iraq war, after she voted for the war. That's how corrupt Feinstein is. So she's worse than Hillary Clinton versus Patrick Little, who's worse than Trump, who's Trumpier than Trump, and Trumpier than Blankenship. But luckily, you have a chance to make a difference. The top two advance. For God's sake, vote for the alternative, Allison Hartson. She ran a nonprofit for 5 years, and the nonprofit's goal was to get money out of politics. She takes no PAC money, totally uncorrupted. She's crushing the rest of them on social media. She beats everyone else combined. I can go on and on. She beats everyone else in small donors. This is time for progressives to get redemption. It's 2016 on steroids, but we get a redo. This time, make the right choice. Vote for a Bernie Sanders style progressive, deeply progressive. Here are the links for Allison Hartson. Again, they'll be in the description box below. This one primary is June 5th. So beat the neo-Nazi, beat the corporatist. Why can't we have reasonable candidates that succeed? Why do we have to have monsters or total corporate hacks? Why can't we have someone actually fighting for the people? But if you live in California, you can make that happen, but you've got to go vote. You've got to go vote. So this is the Republican Party, Patrick Little, Don Blankenship, Roy Moore, Donald Trump. We didn't pick those people, the Republicans did. So tomorrow we get to find out if Blankenship is our official candidate in West Virginia. And then we'll see who finishes first among the Republicans in California, whether they make the runoff or not. But for God's sake, vote for real progressives who are not going to represent corporations or their donors, and who are not going to represent monsters. They've got a crazy new idea. They're going to represent you, the voters, instead of the donors or instead of the ghouls and goblins. But you got to go make that happen. Help them in every way you can. Get into the fight, and whatever you do, make sure you go vote. Go to the links down below and get in the fight. If you can't get in the fight to fight against the neo-Nazi, when do you get in the fight? This is the time. Okay. Whew. These are crazy times, insane times. Okay, now I'm not done with the California race, because now let's go to the other side. So now you got ghouls and goblins over here, now you got the corporate guys over here. In the California Senate race, there are a lot of different candidates. The Republican leader is a neo-Nazi, Patrick Little. And the Democratic leader is Dianne Feinstein. She's the current incumbent. There's other great candidates like Allison Hartson. I'll tell you about that in a second. So who is President Obama going to support? There's, by the way, also a state senator who's a Democrat. Okay, so Obama has a ton of options on the Democratic side. So let's find out. Former President Barack Obama waded into California's Democratic primary for US Senate on Friday, throwing his support to incumbent Dianne Feinstein. Say it with me. Of course he did. Do you really believe that Obama's progressive? Does anybody believe that anymore? That he was fighting for change. Change what? To change the system, to end the corruption, to get money out of policy? He didn't do anything for 8 years. So on that note, change what? His main accomplishment was a healthcare plan that was originally written by the right-wing think tank Heritage Foundation. Wow, the dude is not progressive. He just isn't, it's not in his bones. He is the establishment. So who does he back? Of course he backs the most establishment candidate out there. And by the way, he went out of his way on this one. As the Associated Press notes, it is his only primary endorsement in the congressional races so far in 2018. He's like, wait, there's a Bernie Sanders style progressive Allison Hartson running? No. I gotta get involved in this one. Hold my beer. I gotta go help my fellow corporate hack, Dianne Feinstein. Do you know that Obama's cabinet was picked by an employee of Citigroup? Handed him a list, and Obama picked everyone on the list but one person. They say, oh, no, that employee is a guy who does the revolving door in Washington. He goes, works in the government, then he works for the banks, then he works for the government, then he works for the banks. That's an explanation? That's an excuse? No, no, no. The bankers were his number one donors in 2008, and they handed him a list of who would be in his cabinet, and that's what he did. So get it out of your head that Obama was in any way, shape, or form a progressive. He was a good, mild-mannered manager. Nice job. In terms of being a progressive and fighting for change, who the hell would support Dianne Feinstein if you're fighting for change? She hasn't changed in 50 years. She ran the Confederate flag when she was the mayor of San Francisco. Mayor of San Francisco, not Chattanooga. Why? Oh, she wanted to get the Democratic Southerners to vote for her for vice president for Walter Mondale. She voted for everything Bush ever asked for, the tax cuts, the Iraq war, on and on. She did the corruption, her send the contracts to her husband in the middle of the Iraq war. What a convenient thing. You vote for the Iraq war, your husband gets all these contracts. And on it goes. Obama sees that, doesn't think that's the bug. He thinks that's the feature. And why Feinstein in particular? You know that Feinstein actually supported Hillary Clinton in 2008 in their matchup, but Obama doesn't care about that. Once someone from the establishment supports him, he goes, oh yes, I'm going to bathe in the establishment support. In fact, Feinstein later served as the chair of Obama's first inaugural ceremony. Well, that took a lot of money, and Feinstein brought in money for Obama. So progressives, no, 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 no. Obama is not going to do that. If you're waiting for Obama to support any progressive causes or candidates, please don't hold your breath, you'll hurt yourself. He's never gonna do it. You remember how he talked about how he was gonna put on his walking boots? This is before he was president. Put on his walking boots if collective bargaining was ever challenged. Now those walking boots still in the closet, left completely unworn. Is there any progressive causes that he's rolled up the sleeves and gotten into? Allison Hartz is a community organizer. Community organizer, come on, who would support that? What, I thought you were a community organizer. She was a teacher, he was a teacher. Doesn't care, it was about him. Okay, now people are saying, oh wow, that's surprising. Now look, does Obama even know about Allison? I don't know. And the rest of the media is by the way also deeply biased in favor of the establishment. They don't know that if you're a writer in California or you work in media at all in California, you probably don't even realize it. But you're massively pro-establishment. Why? Is there a conspiracy? No, of course not, don't be ridiculous. But your idea is politicians are awesome and I should write about politicians and I should focus on politicians and I should give politicians a ton of free media. But if you're a real person like Allison who's ran a nonprofit for 5 years, nonprofit to get money out of politics. No way, no way. Now, so what do? They cover the other guy in the race, KDL. So he was a state senator. So the rest of the California media is like, oh, state senator, state senator. He does very badly in the polling. Look, the polling's all over the place. To be fair, almost everyone's doing badly in the polling, including Dianne Feinstein. She's only at 39%. But instead of then going, okay, well, who are the viable candidates maybe on other metrics? They go, I don't know, I'm lazy. And I don't know it, but I'm actually part of the corruption. So who's got more money that they have amassed from corporations? Who is an establishment politician? I'm the one who's gonna give them press. So they do it with KDL. Now, let me give you a sense of other metrics they could use. Do you know that Allison Hartson has, in the last week, as an example, she beat all of the other candidates. I think there's like 30 candidates running in California. She beat all of them combined in social media. All of them combined. The second closest person, she had 6 times as much engagement in social media. You know what that tells you? That's a groundswell. Now, is anybody covering that groundswell? No, no, wait, yeah, but is she a politician taking money from corporate PACs? No, then we're not gonna cover the groundswell. Okay, how about small donors? So that might indicate, hey, there's a lot of people who support her, who are giving her a ton of contributions. They're not giving it in $1 million increments like the ones that the corrupt politicians are getting. So let's take a look at that. 72% of Allison's contributions come from small donors. Those are donors under $200. That category, Feinstein laughs. He's like, why would I take small donors? I already have giant donors. Only 5% of her contributions come from small donors. But KDL, the state senator, Only 8% of his donations come from small donors. He takes the same kind of corrupt money that Dianne Feinstein does. So they say, like, as if he's like a progressive. No, he's not an alternative to the establishment. He's the establishment's backup plan. You want to get a sense of how much he gets from large contributors? This so-called progressive got 86% of his contributions from large donors. And the list goes on and on. He also takes money from defense contractors and telecoms who are against net neutrality. What kind of progressive alternative is this? He takes PAC money endlessly. What kind of progressive alternative is this? So the Obamas of the world and the mainstream media, they don't know the degree to which they are taking part in corruption, if I am being kind to them. But the reality is they are. They reward big money, they reward establishment politicians over and over. But you don't have to do that. You can support Allison Hartson. We'll have the links down below to support Allison. Get in the fight. You volunteer. She's got over 1,700 volunteers. She's lapping the field. She's got more volunteers than everyone else combined. Okay, what else does she have to do? The only way that the rest of the media pays attention to Obama is if she went and said, well, I did raise millions of dollars from Comcast and Verizon and Lockheed Martin and Boeing and ExxonMobil. Then they'd be like, oh my God, you are a legitimate candidate. You are a legitimate candidate. She is. She is. And you guys can support her. Okay, by the way, quick programming note there. I am going to do an event with her. You know I support her. Can you tell by now? Okay, May 8th, that's tomorrow. We're covering the primaries, so tytnetwork.com/live. And then afterwards, I'm going to rush over to the Stalking Horse Brewery and Freehouse in Culver City. So RSVP at the link down below if you're watching this on YouTube or Facebook, and come over, $27. So they do fundraisers getting millions of dollars. We're doing it $27 at a time. They say it can't be done. I believe it can be done. I believe we can have a Bernie Sanders style progressive that can actually represent the progressives of California. Let's go do it together. Okay, one more. No, you know what? Let me save this. So I got Rudy Giuliani saying insane stuff. I got Oliver North now running the NRA, criminals for criminals. I've got all of that when we return. All right, back on the Young Turks. Let me read some comments for you guys. Stable Genius Sam writes, that Blankenship ad made my face twitch. Just amused by that tweet. Nick says, the GOP has rocketed far past self-parody at this point. Agreed. And Charles Johnson said, I donated to Paula Jean today. That's awesome. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it. Guys, I'm telling you, these primaries are everything. Later, all you get is the lesser of two evils. In the primaries, you could actually pick wonderful people, wonderful. Tomorrow, we've got Indiana, North Carolina, West Virginia, Ohio. So giant, giant primaries, and we're gonna cover it. We got the Young Turks, 6 to 8 p.m. And then immediately after the Young Turks, we're gonna do our election coverage for those primaries. So don't miss a minute of it, and go tell everybody you know, tyt.com/live. There's gonna be amazing storylines. Dennis Kucinich, Paula Jean Swearingen, obviously this Blankenship character, all of that, and a ton of Just Democrats, all up tomorrow night, so don't miss that coverage. All right, now let's go over here to more of today's news. Okay, so Rudy Giuliani was on television, so buckle up, and Trump team, brace for impact. Some are calling this a dementia tour. I don't know. I don't know if he's got dementia. I don't know if Trump does, or if they were always born stupid. He's gotten himself in a world of trouble by admitting things that he should have admitted earlier. So what's he going to do now? Well, Stephanopoulos is going to ask him about other women. Let's see what his answer to that is.
And you said he this was a regular arrangement he had with Michael Cohen. So did Michael Cohen make payments to other women for the president?
I have no knowledge of that. But I would think if it was necessary, yes.
If it was necessary, yes. Did you pay hush money, basically, did Trump pay hush money? This is now Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, to other women. If necessary, yes. How many porn stars did he sleep with? What did he pay him the hush money for? Now, they, like, there are dozens of women who have accused Donald Trump of sexual harassment, sexual assault. He didn't pay any of them. Jesus Christ, what is he hiding with these other women? And how many of them are there? And Giuliani is an attorney there, and so he doesn't want to say there are no other women, because clearly there are other women. So he gave that answer. Maybe not the best way to evade that question, but he was accidentally a bit honest there. So here we go. Can't wait. Apparently more women coming down the pike, if you will. So, but we're not done with Giuliani in that appearance, because he fumbled, stumbled through another answer, and this one's fun. Let's watch.
Mayor, what's the, if the president's done nothing wrong, as you say again and again, and he tells the truth.
He hasn't done anything wrong, George.
As you, I know, and if he tells and he tells the truth as you would advise him to do, what is the danger in answering Robert
because
Mueller's questions?
Because they're trying to trap. You couldn't put a lawyer on the show who wants to keep his law license to tell you he should testify.
But it's only a trap if the president doesn't tell the truth.
No, it isn't. It's only prosecutable if they have some built up manipulated evidence to prove the president didn't tell the truth.
Well,
how often has that happened?
If you have evidence that proves he doesn't tell the truth, then the president didn't tell the truth.
No, people do things like lie. People lie. Could Comey be lying? You're damn right he could be lying, George. And we're going to walk ourselves into a trap.
But you believe the president is telling the truth. If you believe that, if you have that conviction, you're his attorney, why don't you say, go in, talk to Robert Mueller, tell the truth?
Because I wouldn't be an attorney if I did that, George. I'd be living in some kind of unreal fantasy world that everybody tells the truth.
Okay. Again, I think slightly inadvertently honest. Living in a fantasy world where everybody tells the truth. Of course nobody does it. People lie. In other words, I lie and Trump lies. I know what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, well, the others could lie against Donald Trump. And that would be their testimony. You get to give your side. That's why Stephan Albers' question is a really good one. They keep calling it a perjury trap. Here's an easy way to avoid that trap. Don't commit perjury. Be honest. And if you're innocent, and Donald Trump has said in the past, taking the fifth is what mobsters do, what guilty people do. I mean, pleading the fifth is saying that you're not going to incriminate yourself. Now, if he gets subpoenaed to a grand jury, Giuliani has said he might take the fifth. Why? Is he a criminal? That's Donald Trump's assumptions. And not even answering any questions from Robert Mueller and saying it's a perjury trap is in essence admitting that Donald Trump would commit perjury. And that's why you see Rudy Giuliani with, no lawyer would let Donald Trump go and talk to a prosecutor where he would obviously tell lie after lie after lie. I mean, be honest, but be charged with perjury anyway? No. These guys are totally unprepared. They don't have good answers because there are no good answers. If he didn't do anything wrong, are you kidding me? You think you could? A runaway freight train couldn't stop Donald Trump from testifying or going and answering simple questions while he's not even under oath. That's what Mueller is requesting. That's the first request. You don't have to be under oath. Just come answer these questions. If Donald Trump thought he didn't do it, you know he'd go in there and he'd go in there with great bravado. Instead, he's running. You know why? Because he did do it. And he would commit perjury to try to protect himself. That's why they call it a perjury trap. And now this is the first woman. How many more are on the way? What kind of hush money did he pay them? And what did he pay him for? So, tip of the iceberg. And one final note, I told you guys this before. When Donald Trump got Mueller's questions, he looked at him and said, see, no questions about collusion. What do you mean? Half the questions were about collusion and what you did during the campaign. Because he thinks, the Russians helping me during the campaign. That's nothing, man. That's not the real collusion. You should look into my golf deals and all the money that I got from the Russians. Huge story from the Washington Post about that today. But I already told you guys that. All that stuff was already in the public record. Both of his sons, the schmucks that they are, have told reporters, oh, where'd we get the money for the golf courses? We got it from the Russians. They love golf. We get our money from the Russians. We get it from the Russians all the time. It's already public. The collusion's already public. You think the Russians are giving Donald Trump all that money for their health because they just think, oh, Donald Trump, what a great businessman. Nobody in America would lend him any money. He went bankrupt 6 different times. He's a terrible businessman. It's the money laundering, stupid. And apparently, whatever is on a tape or a picture that Donald Trump is self-conscious about, those are the 2 things that Donald Trump's actually worried about. Okay, now let me move on to another monster here. Okay. The NRA has a new president. Congratulations to them and the president. Let's tell you who it is. Oliver North, as you can see. A Fox News contributor who was a central figure in the Iran-Contra firearms scandal in the 1980s, has been named the National Rifle Association's next president. Well, that makes sense. If you're running an organization to help criminals, then you would hire a criminal. And Oliver North is a criminal, and I'll explain why in just a second. Does the NRA help criminals? Of course, that's why they want to make sure that armor-piercing bullets can still kill cops, and they want to make sure that's still on the market. Who would use that? No law-abiding citizen needs armor-piercing bullets. Deer don't have armor. Cops have armor. They say that people on the terrorist watch list should still be able to get access to weapons and bullets and anything else they need to murder people. It's called the terrorist watch list. They say, well, sometimes they make a mistake on that list. So some estimates I've seen is 3%.
Ooh.
So 97% of the time, they're so dangerous. This is by the NRA standards, right? The government says, no, that's not true. It's totally accurate. You don't want to take the government's word for it. I hear you, brother. I wouldn't take it either. But let's say it's 97% accurate. They're so dangerous, they won't let them fly on planes. But the NRA says, let's sell those terrorist weapons. Well, if you're going to sell terrorist weapons, oh my God, have you got the right guy in Oliver North? So let me give you a little bit of a background in case you don't know what kind of a monster this guy is. Before joining Fox News, oh, he's a Fox News contributor. Who could have guessed that? North was the National Security Council staffer under President Ronald Reagan. He was famously found to have played a key role in the secret sale of arms to Iran, which was under an arms embargo at the time. Proceeds from the clandestine weapon sales were funneled to support terrorist efforts against Nicaragua's socialist government. That's 2 terrorists for the price of 1. He got the money from the Iranians and sold them weapons. We consider them a terrorist state at the time. Right now, we're getting amped up to go to war with Iran based on the neoconservatives and the Trump administration. And back then, they were banned. They were considered terrorists. And Oliver North thought, well, those look just like my kind of terrorist. Yay! And he goes and literally does a deal with terrorists, according to the US government classification of them. And then he takes the money and gives it to other terrorists in Latin America. This terrorist supporting Oliver North, who was convicted for these actions, now is proudly declared the new head of the NRA. They must be so proud. And what does the NRA do? Not only do they support giving weapons to people on the terrorist watch list, but in essence, by producing an ocean of weapons in this country, which means that almost any unstable person in the country, no matter what their politics or lack of politics are, can get their hands on an assault weapon and murder dozens of people at a time, they are in essence supporting domestic terrorism. Again, Oliver North is the perfect candidate. If you want to support terrorists, you couldn't have picked anyone better than Oliver North. So now, speaking of his convictions, literally in his case, he's a convict. North was convicted of 3 felonies for his roles in the Iran-Contra scandal. Now, he was let off later, to be fair, on a technicality. They said, no, you were convicted and they got you dead to rights. But they used some of your testimony when you were testifying in front of Congress, and Congress had given you immunity for that. So they can't use the evidence that is absolutely real that they used in court and a jury convicted you over, okay? On 3 counts, he is definitely a convicted felon. He shouldn't even be able to buy a weapon, let alone try to sell all these weapons. And that's what the NRA does. They don't support gun owners. They support gun manufacturers. In fact, I suspect that part of the reason for this move is because this was actually an improvement of their image in getting rid of the last president. Why? Because the last president was a little uncomfortable. His name is Pete Brownell, and he is the CEO of his family's firearm accessory retailer, Brownells. So the last guy was literally a weapons manufacturer, and they're like, oh, that's a little uncomfortable. It seems like that we're not really supporting the NRA members. We're clearly supporting the weapons manufacturers who give us all this money. And that is what they do. So they're like, okay, let's have that guy step aside. He only served a year. So they're like, let's bring in a guy who is less problematic, the guy who sold weapons to Iran, to terrorists, and got convicted for it. That's who the NRA is. At least they're not making any pretenses anymore. They don't believe in the rule of law, otherwise they wouldn't have brought in this convicted felon. By the way, are they proud that he got off on a technicality? I thought conservatives hated technicalities. It's not like he didn't do it. It's not like that the evidence wasn't real. It was just protected by immunity because he had to testify in front of Congress because of the basically the treason that he committed by not following the laws of this country. So a lawbreaker supporting terrorists, the NRA is thinking manna from heaven, peas in a pod. Enjoy, NRA, but at least the rest of us know exactly where you stand. Okay, now, current day conservative movement. I don't know how anybody stays a conservative and is proud. Like, yay, we love lawbreakers. We love neo-Nazis like Patrick Little and monsters like Blankenship and child molesters like Roy Moore. And by the way, torturers like Gina Haspel. So let's go to that story. Okay. Gina Haspel has been nominated to head the CIA. She's served in the CIA for 30 years. Now, that's a lot of experience with the CIA, so that's a good thing, presumably. The problem is in some of that experience. Well, she ran a black site in Thailand where we tortured detainees. And some of the worst abuses that the CIA has ever done was under her watch. Waterboarding, sleep deprivation, threats of killing people, and the list goes on and on. I'm going to read that for you in a second. And she then took evidence of their illegal torture and destroyed it, 92 tapes, shredded them. Wildly illegal. So Trump looks at it and goes, oh, a person who doesn't give a damn about the law, hates the rule of law and loves to torture people and then get rid of the evidence? You know, for Trump, that's not the bug, that's the feature. He's like, oh, she gets rid of evidence, I love her. So he's appointed her. Now she's going to have congressional hearings because Congress has to sign off on it. That's going to be on Wednesday. So apparently she was having second thoughts because of the damage it might do to the CIA's reputation. The CIA's reputation. That's not why she did it. All right, so let's give you context. So what kind of torture did she participate in? Well, the government wrote a report about this. Not some liberal organization, not The Intercept. The government wrote this report. So let me quote the New York Times from back when it was revealed. The report describes extensive waterboarding as a series of near drownings and suggests that more prisoners were subjected to waterboarding than the three prisoners the CIA has acknowledged in the past. The CIA lying, no. The report also describes detainees being subjected to sleep deprivation for up to a week. Humans cannot withstand that. Medically unnecessary, quote, rectal feeding, that is otherwise known as rape, and death threats. Conditions at one prison described by a clandestine officer as a dungeon were blamed for the death of a detainee, and the harsh techniques were described as leading to psychological and behavioral issues, including hallucinations, paranoia, insomnia, and attempts at self-harm and self-mutilation. Gina Haspel, everybody. So now, don't get this wrong. A lot of Democrats also support her. So Leon Panetta, the former CIA director under Obama, a lot of the people who worked under Panetta, they're all over TV. MSNBC has like 18 people from CIA and national security intelligence organizations who were all complicit in either the torture or the cover-up of the torture on TV going, Gina Haspel, bravo on the torture, bravo. MSNBC, the liberal station, hilarious, hilarious. So all the people who've done these monstrous things support Gina Haspel. Now, in the case of the black site that she ran in Thailand, one of the detainees was Abu Zubaydah. Now, Abu Zubaydah had a lot of things that were done to him. Turns out we shouldn't have done it to him. Of course, first of all, we shouldn't do it to anyone. But anyway, they don't care that they have whether they have the right person or the wrong person. Couldn't give a damn. It's not about that. It's about the sick joy that they get from torture, that Gina Haspel gets from torture. So let's be clear about that. He was put in a box, Zubaydah was, and he said, quote, in describing it, "I felt I was going to explode." And he was also subjected to waterboarding 83 times in 1 month. To give you a sense of, Gina Haspel is the one who authorized all that. To give you a sense of what a sadist Gina Haspel is and how she has no interest in the truth. If waterboarding worked, why did you have to do it 83 times? You didn't get information the first time, the 17th time, the 53rd time, or the 82nd time. You didn't get any actionable intelligence. What led you to believe that doing it 83 times would work? It's because you didn't want actionable intelligence. Another detainee that the CIA went and helped the Egyptians torture said that he realized in the nick of time they weren't trying to get the right information, they were trying to get the wrong information. So they were about to bury him alive, and he said, okay, I got it. You want me to say Iraq did it, right? About 9/11. He's like, fine, Iraq did it. They're like, congratulations, that's the answer we wanted. They took him out of the grave and then stopped torturing him. So Gina Haspel's in the wrong intelligence business. And then, of course, like I said, she shredded the tapes because it would have been deeply embarrassing for them to see the torture that they had committed at her behest. And by the way, she should be in jail for, at a minimum, first of all, waterboarding is illegal. We have executed people for waterboarding. The Japanese who did the waterboarding of our soldiers got executed. That's how much of a crime waterboarding is. But even if you're a monster like Donald Trump and you think torture is great, put that aside for a second. Shredding the evidence is clearly illegal, 1,000,000% illegal. She should be in prison, not heading the CIA. Okay, at least one Republican acknowledges that, and that's Rand Paul. He says Trump's nominee to run the CIA is complicit in torture. She shouldn't be in charge of an agency that already has problems with accountability. Now, mind you, don't ever take Rand Paul seriously. He'll probably vote for her. He also had tough things to say about Mike Pompeo, who was a former head of the CIA and now confirmed to be the Secretary of State. Oh, who's the deciding vote that confirmed him? Right, Rand Paul. So Rand Paul talks a good game. Hey, maybe we shouldn't torture people. Maybe we shouldn't start endless wars for no reason. Then he goes, oh, Trump, you want me to do it? Yes, sir, absolutely, sir. You think he won't vote for the torture? He probably will. If Trump tells him to do it in a stern enough voice, I'm sure that Rand Paul will beg and plead and bark and do whatever he does, like the dog that he is, to follow the commands of his dear leader. Anyway, speaking of which, Donald Trump, what does he think about torture? When asked about it during the campaign, he said, you can say what you want, but I have no doubt that it does work in terms of information and other things. That is, of course, not true, but that is what Donald Trump says about torture. So he is on the record as clearly pro-torture. So the report out over the weekend was that to avoid risking damage to the agency's reputation or her own, Haspel offered to withdraw her name from consideration on Friday, according to the Washington Post. She reportedly told White House officials she did not want to become what she called the next Ronnie Jackson. So Ronnie Jackson, of course, was the White House physician who then got appointed to be the head of the Veterans Affairs for no apparent reason other than the fact that he gave a report that Donald Trump wanted, which was probably total lie about his health. So they wanted to reward him for the corruption. Then we found out that he was nicknamed the Candy Man and would give out pills without prescriptions and did a whole laundry list of things. Gina Haspel doesn't give a damn about the CIA reputation. All she cares about is her own ass. That's why she shredded the tapes to cover her own ass so she wouldn't go to prison. And now she doesn't want to be the next Ronnie Jackson. In other words, she doesn't want to be humiliated and run out of town. She was just trying to cover her own ass. She should be the head of CYA, not CIA. So what does that mean? That means the Trump administration is like, oh, someone who's done a lot of things wrong and shreds evidence, Yes! So Sarah Huckabee Sanders tweets, there's no one more qualified to be the first woman to lead the CIA than 30-plus year veteran Gina Haspel. Any Democrat who claims to support women's empowerment and our national security but opposes her nomination is a total hypocrite. So do progressives actually say you should support women just for the sake of just because they're women? Not real progressives. Maybe corporatists like Hillary Clinton. Oh, I'm a woman, so you have to support me because I'm a woman. But real progressives don't say that. We care about issues, we care about policies, we care about what your stance is. We care about if you have a good record on women's rights and protecting women. Now, Hillary Clinton could have run on that. Instead, she said, I'm with her. You have to support me because I'm a woman. The only other people who do that are conservatives. Conservatives say, oh, no, you can't attack Gina Haspel. She's a known torturer, known lawbreaker, but she's a woman. So that's what you must mean. No, we mean support women's rights, women's issues. We don't mean support any monstrous woman that comes along just because she's a woman. So we don't have to support Bessie DeVos, we don't have to support Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and we don't have to support the torturer Gina Haspel. That I don't know if they're purposely getting that idea wrong, or they think, well, this will be a fun little trick. We'll just lie and pretend that progressives think you should support all women, period, regardless of what their opinions or policy positions are. So of course, Donald Trump wants to get in on the game. So he tweets, my highly respected nominee for CIA Director Gina Haspel has come under fire because she was too tough on terrorists. Yeah, that's nice framing there, Donnie. Think of that, in these very dangerous times, we have the most qualified person, a woman who Democrats want out because she's too tough on terror. Win, Gina. What does that mean, win, Gina? Okay, anyway, he's a child. So he's like, oh, she's a woman. Oh, I know, Donald Trump. Well-known supporter of women and women's issues. You guys say this stuff with a straight face? Get the hell out of here, man. And then he says she was too tough on terrorists. You're support giving weapons to people on the terrorist watch list. When you have right-wing terrorists, white nationalist terrorists, you never say a word about it, Donald Trump. You said about the terrorists in Charlottesville, the right-wing zealots, the neo-Nazis, that there were good people on that side too. And now you want to talk about, well, at least she tortures people and destroys evidence, so that's tough on terrorism. No, that's contrary to American principles of freedom and liberty and our United States Constitution. She might as well have spit on the American flag. That's probably why Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Donald Trump like her so much. All right, back on the Young Turks, I'm gonna read some comments for you guys. First, YouTube Super Chat. If you use that, that helps the show, so I move those up. I'm gonna keep it real with you guys. 21 Lorio, and names are hard to pronounce here, or the handles are, just with hold my beer. Okay. That's what Blankenship said, or Patrick Little said to Blankenship and their evil off. Car SCHMN writes in on YouTube Super Chat. All of them, Trump slept with and paid them all. That is a fair hypothesis. I am Sock says on Twitter, remind me what the legal definition of if necessary is regarding infidelity hush money payments. It's a great point. Rudy said, oh, I'm sure he paid them off if necessary. When is it ever necessary to do hush money? Disney Princess says, if I had an affair with Trump, I would pay him to stay quiet. T-shirt for that one. That one is excellent. ShopTYT.com to get your own T-shirt and other merchandise. Okay. Joy Division 851 says, if a monster like Blankenship gets elected, I have lost all hope in humanity if we are seriously electing convicted coal miner ghoul as senator. And then finally, Morning My Son says, Obama has been more, the most part, silent on everything that's been happening in the past 2 years. But suddenly, as a swoop in from retirement to endorse Feinstein, almost like Feinstein and the establishment is afraid of a certain someone. Indeed, could be. It is amazing that that's the one race he chose to get involved in. I know that he loves incumbents. He was an incumbent. And I know he's never going to back a Bernie Sanders style person. He doesn't like progressives who agree with Bernie Sanders. Does not like them, does not believe in them, does not believe their own their politics, any of it, right? But of all the incumbents and all the races, the one that you're like, oh, Feinstein. You almost couldn't pick a more conservative Democrat. That's because Obama's a conservative Democrat. That's what he is. Just get used to it. Anyway, why doesn't he ever go to a picket line or a strike? Why didn't he go down to the teacher strikes down in the South? Do you know how much love that would get him? Oh, no. That might hurt my beloved legacy. All he cares about is a stupid legacy. Ironically, he's destroying it right in front of our eyes. All right, let's go over here. I got two more quick stories for you guys. The Trump administration has threatened to set the Iran deal on fire by the end of the week. That's the deal that ended Iran's nuclear energy program. They didn't have a weapons program, but now they couldn't not only have a nuclear weapons program, they can't have a nuclear energy program. It took out the uranium from Iran. It was an amazing deal. And in return, what do we give them? Nothing. We had taken their money hostage and we had convinced other countries to freeze all their assets, not our assets, their assets. It was Iranian money and we froze them all across the world. We kidnapped their money and then in return for ending their energy program, we gave them their money back. It was an unbelievably great deal. So look, I don't want Iran to have nuclear weapons. They're run by the Ayatollah. They're run by a bunch of corrupt mullahs. So we didn't go to war. We gave up nothing and we took away their any hope of a nuclear program. So of course, the moron Donald Trump thinks, I'm going to do a better deal. So I'm thinking of ripping that one up. So John Kerry, the former Secretary of State who negotiated that deal, is apparently going around to allies and to the people he talked to in Iran to make the deal, including the foreign minister, and saying, look, here's how we can rescue the deal, etc. He's on his own, he's doing that. Is that a good idea? I got mixed feelings about it. Look, if a Republican Secretary of State was doing that to Obama, I don't think I'd be happy about it. On the other hand, he's fighting for peace, and those guys fight for war, so that makes a giant difference. And he is the one that put the deal together, and as a former Secretary of State, he has every right to at least talk to our allies, that's for sure. Trump does not agree. He tweets, the United States does not need John Kerry, possibly illegal shadow diplomacy on the very badly negotiated Iran deal. He was the one that created this mess in the first place. If by mess you mean an excellent deal, yeah, that was John Kerry. That's probably the shining moment in his resume. Excellent deal criticized by Donald Trump. By definition, you knew it was a good deal. All right, anyway. The answer from Kerry's camp is Secretary Kerry stays in touch with his former counterparts around the world, just like every previous Secretary of State. And that is true. Previous Secretary of States do keep in touch with other foreign diplomats that they used to talk to. Talking to the Iranian's foreign minister, interesting. But now let me give you the context that almost no one else in media is giving you. During the Obama administration, as they were negotiating that deal, 47 Republican senators led by Tom Cotton wrote a letter directly to the Iranian government saying don't do the deal. That's only a million times worse. So where's everybody on cable news talking about the treasonous Republican senators who beseeched the Ayatollah to not do a deal with our government as we were negotiating that deal? Where are you guys? So Major General Paul Eaton was asked about it at the time, it was a couple of years ago, and he said, I do not believe that these senators were trying to sell out America. I do believe they defied the chain of command in what could be construed as an illegal act. And when asked to describe the Republican senator's actions, he said, I would use the word mutinous. So please spare me your crocodile tears on John Kerry, unless you're also calling out Tom Cotton today. And by the way, other senators like Lindsey Graham and John McCain, who never saw a war that they didn't absolutely love. So they were the ones who were mutinous. Okay, then Rudy Giuliani was speaking over the weekend to a group. They pretend to be for freedom in Iran, if only it were so. Usually it's shadowy groups who support another country who wants a war with Iran. And then they do it under the guise of freedom for Iran. Anyway, speaking to that group, Giuliani said, President Donald Trump is as committed to regime change as we are. wait a minute, Giuliani doesn't have national security clearance. He doesn't even work for the government. He's Donald Trump's personal attorney. So is Trump sharing national secrets with Giuliani? First of all, you know the answer to that. Of course he is. You think he's not blabbering all over the place to all these people who don't have clearance? Of course he is. And then Giuliani, because he's apparently totally unhinged, goes and speaks in front of this group and he's like, well, let me tell you classified information that I shouldn't even have access to. We're going to do a regime change in Iran. Oh my God, that means war. That means not only are they going to tear up the deal, we might go to war with Iran. Iran is 4 times the size of Iraq. That's at least 4 times the size of the disaster. Their military is way superior to Iraq's. They don't have nuclear weapons, thank God. Thanks to Obama and John Kerry, by the way. But they do have a ton of conventional weapons. And if you thought we got stuck in a quagmire in the middle of Iraq, wait till you get a load of Iran. But almost everyone in the administration now is a neocon who's in favor of that war. Giuliani went on to say that ripping up that deal and going for regime change, which would mean war, is, quote, the only way to peace in the Middle East. Well, I don't know that anyone's ever written a book better than 1984. Orwell's got to be thinking, nailed it. The only way to peace is war, indeed. And how about the current Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo? Well, he has said in the past, when he was a congressman, Congress must act to change Iranian behavior and ultimately the Iranian regime. And the National Security Advisor is John Bolton, who hasn't met a war he didn't want to make love to. And the Iran war, he can't wait for it. He's among the original monstrous, moronic neoconservatives that started the Iraq war. So all of you libertarians who voted for Donald Trump because you thought he was against intervention in the Middle East, joke's on you, and unfortunately on the rest of the planet as they beat those war drums. The Republicans will always vote for war. If you vote for the Republicans thinking they're not going to drive you into war, you're an idiot. All they care about is the money that they get from the oil companies and the defense contractors. That's all you ever get with the Republicans, is tax cuts for the rich, nice Freudian slip, for the rich, for corporations, and of course, more war in the Middle East. Okay, last story for you guys. Speaking of John McCain. John McCain is in really bad shape. He's got a serious form of cancer. He's got a new book coming out, and he's got an audio tape related to it. And it's weighty matters. And I want to play you a part of the tape here. Here, let's listen it.
Maybe I'll be gone before you hear this. My predicament is, well, rather unpredictable. But I'm prepared for either contingency, or at least I'm getting prepared.
So look, anytime you see someone who says, look, I might, if all the surgeries go well, I might have at most another 5 years, or it could be any moment now. And people like Vice President Joe Biden are going to see him, and his friends and allies are going to see him while he still lives. And so he realizes that he might pass away. His book is going to be called A Restless Wave, Good Times Just Causes Great Fights and Appreciations. I don't want you to get me wrong. I don't agree with John McCain's policies. And so he has and always will be a warmonger. And so I'm not here to praise John McCain. But anytime anybody's in a situation like that, it's touching, obviously. Well, in the midst of preparing for the worst, a news report is out today saying amid Senator John McCain's battle with brain cancer, the 81-year-old reportedly wants President Donald Trump to stay away from his funeral. He's apparently told people that he hopes they send Mike Pence, the vice president, and he does not want Donald Trump at his funeral. Well, I wouldn't either. I mean, I wouldn't want to see Donald Trump whether I was alive or dead. Now, you might wonder why McCain's got a bone to pick with Donald Trump. Well, you remember this famous comment during the campaign.
He hit me. He's not a war hero.
He's a war hero.
He's a war hero.
5.5 years.
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay? I hate to tell you.
Do you agree with that?
He's a war hero. because he was captured. Okay?
There's no end to what a bad guy Donald Trump is. What a monster. And the Republican voters saw that and they're like, that's our monster. We like that guy who spits on people who were tortured by our enemies. There's a way to disagree with John McCain without smearing his record. You know, look, I've said this a million times, and I'll say it one more time. McCain is dead wrong on the policies. I would vote against him 98 out of 100 times, okay? Although, to be fair, McCain-Feingold getting money out of politics, that was nice. And you always got to be fair, and you always got to give credit where credit is due. And in that story of John McCain being captured, that's not the relevant part. The relevant part is, since he was the son of a famous admiral for the US Navy, the North Vietnamese offered to let McCain go, and he wouldn't go. He said, I'm not going to go if you're keeping the rest of the US soldiers here. Now that is bravery. That's something that, of course, Donald Trump has never seen, would never do, would anyone else. The idea that Donald Trump would care about anybody but himself is preposterous. And of course, Donald Trump, now to be fair to him, was not captured in Vietnam. The reason for that is because, like a coward, he ran. First, he was in school, that's fine. He got 4 deferments, but his 5th deferment was for bone spurs. When asked which foot he had the bone spurs in, he said, I don't know, maybe both. His daddy wrote him a doctor's note, which was obviously a lie. One of many fictitious doctor's notes to follow in Trump's notorious career. And McCain clarified that last fall he said that Trump never apologized for his insulting remark. So bad blood between them. If I was McCain, I wouldn't want that guy at my funeral either. He'd probably go and give a eulogy. I prefer senators who weren't dead. You think he won't say it? Do you think he won't say it? So it's a hell of a situation for John McCain to be in, but I like one of the last shots that he took, if in fact it's one of his last shots. Bless his heart for that one. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, lots of amazing stories for you guys, including, look, if you haven't heard of Childish Gambino, you might be like, what the hell is that? That's what I was saying, but it turns out what he did was brilliant. I want to explain that to you guys when we come back.